Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
We've had four events here that were mask only, that you had to wear a mask mandated, and it's just impossible to police, and it's impossible to have to just make it happen. There's just so many reasons, but we're really excited about the opportunity to have consistency this season.
I'd prefer that everybody be vaccinated. I would have preferred that it would have been mandatory for players to get vaccinated, but the Players Association did not share that view. So we are where we are, which is not a bad spot to be in. We're over 90%. Obviously, I'd like it to be 100% because I think it's the right thing to do.
And we're off and running in today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 204, talking NFL, talking preseason, talking quarterback battles. A lot to get into today. We're going to break down the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. Going to get into that situation in San Francisco a little bit deeper with Holden as well. But some breaking news. Jamal Adams does sign the deal with the Seahawks, one of the highest paid safeties and players on the defensive side of the ball. We saw an injury to Justin Fields in terms of his groin. Matt Nagy said that they're going to limit him in practice over this week, but he should be ready for the preseason game against the Buffalo Bills. The other developments coming out of New York, Dave Gettleman was actually questioned today about Saquon Barkley in terms of that injury, where Saquon sits right now in terms of coming back week number three. And the reporter asked Dave Gettleman, they said, Dave, do you have any regrets selecting Saquon Barkley where you did a couple of years ago in the draft? And he took his time. He thought about it. He laughed. He fibbed his words in terms of getting a response. But at the end, he said he has no regrets. And Holden, I guess that's the biggest question in terms of value at the running back position. We see the elite running backs like Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry entering 2021, but did you happen to catch that interview today with Dave Gettleman in terms of the response regarding Saquon Barkley?
Of course I did. It was a horrible draft pick. Listen, we all love Saquon Barkley, right? But at the time we even said this, there's such an attrition rate, an injury rate with what you have in running backs, that it's just silly to take them that high. It doesn't make sense. And Gettleman continues to double down, triple down, quadruple down. He made an awful pick in Daniel Jones, and my sense is that this will be the last year of David Gettleman as the general manager with the New York Giants, unless Daniel Jones turns out to be this superstar that nobody else thinks can be besides for Gettleman. He just did an awful job there. He's done an awful job. He continues to triple down. And if I'm a Giants fan, I'm furious today.
Yeah, I tell you, we talked about it yesterday in terms of their win total on FanDuel. This is a team that a lot of people in the tri-state area, analysts, experts, no matter how you break it down, they buy into the Giants in 2021. And for me, I need to see it before I believe it. And what I mean by that is Joe Judge did a fantastic job, in my opinion, getting the most out of very little talent on the defensive side of the ball. I think they'll be much more improved this year. They're more physical, that's for sure. sure, but what is really the identity of this offense, right? Are they really going to put the ball into Daniel Jones's hands and say, okay, kid, go throw for 350 yards per game? Because I'm not so sure he can do that, number one. And number two, the turnovers are the Achilles heel for this team.
Everything's the Achilles heel for this team. Seriously. Like, they have weapons in the receiving game. I think the quarterback is the Achilles heel of this team, personally.
I agree.
There's probably some issues, too, defensively that we could talk about at any point in time. But I go back to this. I just don't understand what the Giants were doing when they hired this guy, and I don't understand what the Giants are doing with him right now. And it's going to end horribly in New York. How many times can I say this, Joe? It comes down to Daniel Jones. I don't even care about the Saquon draft pick at this point. And yes, Gettleman doubled down, and the Giants fans are irate, and they should be. But yeah. his big selection was Daniel Jones. And I wonder, after he loses his job this year, if they ask him, hey, would you go back and do it all over again? He probably doubled down on Daniel Jones, too.
I agree with that.
We had a press conference today with him. I would rather, you know what, if they asked him about Daniel Jones, it wouldn't matter anyways, because he's not going to tell you the truth that it was a bad pick. But he's done an awful job in the draft, and I think there's a lot of Achilles heels on this team, buddy.
I agree with you, Holden. And we talked about his passing total in terms of touchdowns this year. On DraftKings, they have Daniel Jones, 24 touchdown passes, under and over set at minus 115 either way. He only had 11 touchdowns last year, and he missed a couple of games with injury. I mean, he needs to get to that number, in a big way. He needs to get to 30, 32 for this team to compete with Dak Prescott, for this team to compete with Washington. Otherwise, I think they're a 5-12 football team this season.
Yeah, I guess defensively they could take this massive step forward and really center the offense around Saquon Barkley and hope that that works. You know, seriously, you look at the weapons too. I actually like his weapons. Now, they don't have much at tight end. Caden Smith's their guy, but outside of Evan Engram, who is consistently injured. But Kenny Golladay, he's fine, doesn't get much separation, seems to be extremely effective nonetheless. Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, Saquon Barkley, the guy's got everybody around him that he needs. He's just not capable of getting the job done.
Totally agree. 3,800.5 passing yards for Daniel Jones in 2021. I'm leaning to the under. When we come back, Holden and I will be breaking down Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. Keep it where it is, Joe Lisi and Holden.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Ripping through the NFL training camps, Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner right here on Pro Football Full Circle. Talked about the New York Giants and Joe Judge. Going to turn our attention to their counterpart in the NFC East, Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. Holden put up a tweet. It says that the Eagle players are buying in a big way to Jalen Hurts, not just on the field, but off the field in terms of his preparation, his work ethic. Holden, it looks like all the players are backing Jalen Hurts. The only problem is that head coach Nick Sirianni still, to this point, has not named him the starter for week number one.
Yeah, and you can follow me on Twitter at Holden Radio. Just want to get that personal plug in, Joe Lisi. So here, there's two of them that came out. It was yesterday, Jordan Schultz, who covers the team. Fast-growing sentiment among Eagles players. He's undoubtedly a franchise QB. Work ethic, intangibles, player I spoke with. Players I've spoken with consistently blown away by Hurts on and off the field. Jay Glazer today, just leaving Eagles Patriots, being around them the last couple of days, confidence in Jalen Hurts from teammates became much, much clearer. He's winning over those guys. That kind of puts Sirianni in a corner, doesn't it? if all of these players absolutely love Jalen Hurts and Jalen Hurts is playing well, then how is he not the starting quarterback of the Eagles? I don't know what they're waiting for. I really don't think that there's any type of competition for this guy. Obviously needs improvement. You'd like to see him a little more accurate or a lot more accurate throwing the football. But if his teammates absolutely love him, what are we doing here? how long are we waiting?
Now, I'm with you. I'm not the biggest Jalen Hurts backer in the sense of being a marquee starter in the NFL. So let's take that out of it, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But when we look at Jalen Hurts, the competitor, back at Alabama, he was 26-2 as a starter. Back at Alabama, he won critical games on the road with his ability to just sense the rush and tuck it and run and make big plays. So that's the Jalen Hurts at Alabama. Let's not forget, too, Tua came in the national championship game. He took it like a competitor. He could have transferred. He could have moved on. He did move on, but at the end of the day, he still was with that team and led them to an SEC championship the year after. So, I mean, when I look at Jalen Hurts right now, the guy understands what it takes to win. And when we see, like, the players buying in, right, holding in terms of the younger players, you have Jalen Reagor on that team. You have Quez Watkins on that team. You have Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith on that team. If they're buying into Jalen Hurts as their quarterback, why not go with the flow, baby? Because you're a first-year head coach. You're trying to really instill enthusiasm and intensity there. I don't understand why Nick Sirianni has to play hardball. I could see if it was a younger quarterback. And I don't even want to use this comparison, but a quarterback like, I hate to say this, Mitch Trubisky, that has had some success in the league. But Joe Flacco is like Andy Dalton. He's old. We know where Joe Flacco is. He's at the end of his career. You're telling me you're going to open up the quarterback position for potentially Joe Flacco to push Jalen Hurts at this point in the season? Come on.
That's just silly. Second of all, let me give you some other numbers here that I think people need to know. Matthew Berry pointed this out. Jalen Hurts, in the four games he was a starter, okay, in the four games that he was a starter, he threw for almost 230 yards a game and ran for 68. Lamar Jackson's last four games as a rookie, he threw for, 65 less yards a game. He ran for 12 more yards, not even, 7 more yards a game. Very similar early on. Now, I'm not saying the upside would be there with Jalen Hurts to be Lamar Jackson. That is just a different dude right there. But we also saw a discombobulated offense, a completely disastrous team that had no head coach at the wheel toward the end of the season. That's why
Peterson
he ended up
getting, horrible.
Oh, it was just a disaster. Now you would think that Hurts would get some good coaching. And the other thing is, don't be too hard on Hurts because of the 52% completion rate. I mean, he threw the ball deep. Over 15 yards. So a quarter of his passes last year were at least 15 yards. I wonder if they're going to tailor the offense a little bit differently to him. Yeah, you're going to let him run, but maybe some quick hits, some shorter hits, still allow him to throw deep. But that is where the accuracy, he needs to take a big step. And yep. Again, I think he can do that. I'm buying into Jalen Hurts. I think he's a superstar? Probably not. Does he have the chance to be an above average quarterback? Absolutely.
Oh, yes. And I agree with that assessment. Now, if Tyrod Taylor could start in the league or be mentioned as a starter for even Houston week number one, and we know Davis Mills has stepped up, there's a potential for Jalen Hurts to be a quality starter. He's just not an Aaron Rodgers. He's not a Russell Wilson. At this point, I don't even think he's a Kyler Murray with Arizona. I just think the skill set, he's still raw. And when we talk about the completion percentage, that was the concern at Alabama, but that was also the concern his last year at Oklahoma. Now, even though he stepped up with completion percentage against the better defenses in the Big 12, when you look at both games against Baylor and NFL head coach Matt Rhule at that particular time, they took away his strong suit. They took away his strong side, which is the left. You roll him out to the right, he struggles. And he struggled in that ball game in the Big 12 championship. He threw the ball into coverage, forced throws, and that's the way you have to beat Jalen Hurts. So when we look at his complete body of work, we say he's a mobile quarterback. He has great pocket presence. He has playmakers around him. I think if we're making the comparison, Jalen Hurts or Daniel Jones that we just talked about, Jalen Hurts has more upside than Daniel Jones, in my opinion, because when you turn the football over as much as Daniel Jones, that's an issue. The problem, Jalen Hurts can really limit his mistakes as he progresses as an NFL quarterback. And when you look at his total, Holden, 3,650 and a half yards on DraftKings. I think that is very attainable with the lack of rushing attack with Miles Sanders this year.
So passing, you think he gets over 3,600 yards?
I do, because I'm not buying into the fact that I don't believe that Philadelphia has a legitimate, consistent rushing attack. I just don't. Miles Sanders rushed for 827 last year. I think they have significant problems on the offensive line. I don't think they get much better. I still think they're going to be in predictable third down situations. That leads to big plays with Hurts on the ground with his legs, but also breaking contain and making big plays with his arms. It's not like he doesn't have weapons, right? He has that Texas Tech type of offense with those wide receivers. They're not very tall. They're diminutive. They can break contain. They're speedy. I like the group that he has in terms of Quez Watkins, Devontae Smith when he's healthy, and Jalen Reagor.
So let's just go to a narrative, which is actually proven factual, but it might not have too much to do with this year. Like, when was the last time the Eagles developed a wide receiver and he actually worked out? You know, we had JJ.
Would you say Alshon Jeffrey? Would you say Alshon?
Okay, then that was the last one. That was legitimately the last one that they developed. And you're right, they have terrific weapons around him. I'm fascinated by this Quez Watkins ascension. We've seen a lot of guys have great preseasons and then go on to do absolutely nothing. But it's taken a little while, but Quez Watkins looks like a wonderful downfield threat. And then Smith. Here's what I think is going to be the most interesting thing with Jalen Hurts. How does he utilize Ertz and Goddard? You know, Ertz fell out of favor last year. New coaching staff, though. And sure, he got right into it with the front office. But I don't know if that really matters to Sirianni with a new staff. You've got him, you got Goddard. He can dump the ball down. He's got deep threats. Everything is set up for Jalen Hurts to be successful. But the question is, will he be accurate enough deep to have those chunk plays consistently through the years? I'm actually more interested in his rushing stats. Like, what is, or is not his rushing stats, his rushing props. That is the interesting one for me, because I could see him, if they're down, then he's going to just be running for tons of yards. And I will say this once again, I do that live betting show. You do live betting shows too. At halftime, check out those rushing numbers. If a team is down, you're going to see those quarterbacks run, run, run. And Jalen Hurts is one guy on my list I'll be looking at every single game.
Yeah, we'll look at his rushing stats next. 20 and a half in terms of touchdowns in 2021. When we come back, we'll be talking about the other teams in the AFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, we just left off with Jalen Hurts. In terms of his passing prop, I mentioned it was 3,650 and a half on DraftKings. Passing totals in terms of touchdowns, 20 and a half on DraftKings, Holden, -115 either way. And then we took a deeper dive and we found his rushing total, 655 and a half. You perked up a little bit when you heard that. 655 and a half, you started calculating. Yes. I'm starting to believe that you're on the over for Jalen Hurts rushing in 2021.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Now, the question is, can a guy that runs that much play 17 games? That's the first thing you need to ask yourself. What if he plays 17 games, all he's got to do is rush for 40 yards a game? I mean, he had a 100-yard game, and he had two games over 60 yards. Three of his five games, he had 63 yards or more. That's the first thing. Right. He's going to have to run. He's going to use his legs. He's a young guy. That's just what happens. If he only plays 15 games. He still only needs about 45 yards per game. So, yes, with my calculations and his role in that offense, I think the better number than the passing number is the over rushing yards. This guy should probably have, I mean, between 750. So I think they're way off on that number.
Okay, I think if he doesn't get to 20 and a half, this team is going to be terrible this year. I mean, 20 and a half touchdowns in today's NFL, where we have to believe that they're going to be trailing a majority of the time, right? They're already 3.5-point underdogs to Atlanta week one on the road, and Matty Ice, right? I mean, the other teams in the NFC East, better defense in terms of Washington, the offense, they can go toe-to-toe. That was the game at the end of the year where they pulled them, right, for Nate Sudfeld from Indiana. It was one of the reasons why Doug Peterson's no longer a head coach, but that's besides the point. So you would have to think that just from a game perspective, he's going to chuck it, let's say, at least 28 to 35 times a game. I mean, on an average, right, with this offense. I mean, I don't think this offense is going to be built and predicated on the rushing attack. As much as you might like Miles Sanders, he's not a guy that's going to carry the rock 25, 30 times a game.
No, 15 times a game. You know, yeah, and hopefully that, they'll use him out of the back. Yeah, hopefully they'll use him out of the backfield. Because their running back situation is interesting, too. I mean, you've got Miles Sanders, Boston Scott. They just let go Kerryon Johnson. So it's either going to be Jordan Howard or the rookie. So
I can't believe Jordan Howard over Kerryon Johnson. I know Johnson has some knee issues,
yeah,
but come on.
Maybe they think other guys can do exactly what he did. Because he's just basically a pass-catching back. Miles Sanders needs to stop dropping the football is what he needs to stop doing, right? Yeah.
I think what you see is what you get with him, though. He wasn't an elite running back, and people think that he was dynamic at taking over after Saquon at Penn State. He was a good running back, 1,000-yard rusher in that regard, but I think what you see is what you get with him. 700, 800 rushing yards, maybe at the most 880, 900. He's no 1,200-yard rusher. He's not that Dalvin Cook type of player. He's hit or miss in terms of the consistency and the opponent that he plays in terms of Miles Sanders' progression.
Yep, no doubt. And Kenneth Gainwell is there, too. So I think Miles Sanders is going to have a guy breathing down his neck if Gainwell makes the team, Sanders gets hurt again, or is just not efficient enough. It's very interesting offense there with the Eagles.
Yeah, we'll see what transpires in the upcoming season for Nick Sirianni and the crew. I did want to talk about Tennessee. We haven't really talked about them a lot. We've been all in on the Indianapolis Colts with the situation with Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson. But their total on FanDuel is set at 9. They're the front runners right now with those injuries, even though both players are expected to come back week one. They're juiced to the over in terms of minus 150 on FanDuel. If you want to take the under, they're giving you positive money at plus 120. Do we still believe in Ryan Tannehill, this offense? We know about A.J. Brown. Julio Jones, is this going to be the team to potentially challenge the Kansas City Chiefs and Buffalo Bills this year?
Defense is the big question mark, but let's start with the offense, right? So they have everything you need. People think that Julio Jones is done. I don't think he's done. He might miss some games this season, but he brings so much. He's going to – you know what? I also think he's going to score more touchdowns. He couldn't score touchdowns in Atlanta. They'll figure out how to get him there. They got arguably the best running back in the league in Derrick Henry. There's some guys that do a little more in the passing game or a lot more in the passing game, but this guy just trucks over you. And Ryan Tannehill, his efficiency is what's impressed me. And now he's done it for 2 years, or at least a year and a half. I'm totally sold on Ryan Tannehill. And you throw A.J. Brown – and Julio Jones out there, that's nasty, just the start. But the question is, who's behind them? Like, can they even use the tight end? Is it Jeff Swaim? Is it Firkser? Firkser really took a step ahead. I expect Firkser to be the number three option in the passing game behind Brown and behind Jones. Do they have enough depth at wide receiver? That's my big question for the Titans offensively. I do think they have enough, though. Over 9 wins. I think they get 10 wins in a 16-game season. Over, my friend.
I think, you know, as much as I've been critical of Ryan Tannehill as a Dolphin fan, he has definitely taken another step in his development. You know, I'm not going to deny that. He has definitely stepped up. The new landscape in Nashville has definitely benefited him, and it does help to have a bruising 235-pound running back that takes names, takes your lunch money, and just kicks ass every given Sunday. So that helps in terms of, you know, adding to your numbers, right? Team stack the box. You work off of play action with A.J. Brown and now Julio Jones. The bigger question for me is Ryan Tannehill. We know he could do it in the regular season. I'm not denying that. He was potentially comeback player of the year, right, in terms of that regard. But in the playoffs, when they did make that run against Kansas City, right, and when he had to step up, he could not do it. You look at those playoff wins, what did he have? 77, 82 yards, 112 yards in those playoff wins. It was basically the offensive line. It was basically Derrick Henry wearing down opposing defenses. Now with this type of foundation, with Julio Jones, if they do trail or you need this passing attack to come through for you, not just in the regular season, but in the playoffs, are you buying in? Are you that confident that this offense is where it needs to be entering 2021?
Yeah, because they're not predicated on the pass in the postseason. That's Derrick Henry time. You know that. They were trying to win with a defense that couldn't get off the field on third down, that had some major issues in the secondary. So, yeah, I think that the issue with Tannehill in the postseason is he's not getting a lot of attempts. It's not like he throws 40 times a game, but what did he throw against Baltimore last year? 18 of 26 for 165, a touchdown and a pick. I mean, the interception is the one thing that you really have seen out of Tannehill just decrease over the years. But he had a great game against Kansas City 2 years ago. I don't know what you're talking about. 209, two touchdowns? I thought he was good enough in 2019. You throw Henry into the mix? Yes, this is a team that can slow it down, but they don't have the firepower the Chiefs have because nobody does.
Right. Well, that was my point. Yes, in the playoff loss to Kansas City was his best game in terms of the playoff run, right? The previous two games, I think he was in the area of, like, what, 77 in that victory over Baltimore a couple of years ago, in the second round game as well. He was under 150 yards. So when they needed him to have that 300-yard game against Pat Mahomes. And I understand it's Pat Mahomes, it's Kansas City. But in just terms of consistency, like, you look at his passing total this year, 4,150 and a half. You feel confident that that's a way over for him? Or is it still based off of whether Derrick Henry is getting his or not? Like, if they shut down Derrick Henry from 2027, right, that's what he had last year, to, let's say, I don't know, 1,500, 500 rushing yards less this season, do we still feel confident that Tannehill could eclipse that number this year?
What is it? It's 4,000 and what?
4,150 and a half.
I don't like that at all. I mean, in Miami, he beat that one time. He's never beaten that. Like, he hasn't beaten that in the last 4 years. And even last year when he was uber efficient, he threw for 3,800 yards. So, yeah, you throw an extra game in there, that's fine. But let's not forget, down the stretch, it's Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry. Does Julio Jones make that big of a difference in this offense? Is it going to change that much? Sure, he could get a bump there, but I'm not going to go to Ryan Tannehill, who doesn't really get the passing volume that you'd like to see, despite the fact he threw 481 times last year. That's an under for me, Joe.
Yeah, I would take the under there as well. I think, again, if you stack the box against Henry, and they're going to double-team A.J. Brown. They are. They're going to let the old guy, Julio Jones, have one-on-one coverage, and that's where he might get more yards, he might get more touchdowns, but at the end of the day, you have to double-team the more athletic talent, right, the younger talent, which is A.J. Brown, for defenses. So we'll see what transpires this year for Tennessee. They are the front runners under and over at nine on FanDuel, minus 150 to the over. Let's talk about Zach Wilson. He had a very good first outing, not elite, not like Justin Fields or even the big play like Trey Lance, but a very good outing. He took another step in terms of his progression. This win total for the New York Jets this year set at 6. And, you know, again, I'm not sold on Zach Wilson long-term, short-term. I think, you know, this is going to be an issue for him in terms of reading defenses. It's a nice first game, but I'm still not buying in. Thoughts about his performance Saturday night and whether this team in year one with a new head coach, a defensive-minded head coach, can really eclipse this six-win total. I think this is asking a lot for this team.
Let's start with something you just mentioned, a defensive coach. I remember Brian Billick. Didn't we see Brian Billick a long time ago?
Mm-hmm.
We're up against the break. I want to talk to you about Brian Billick because he was a guy that went to the other side, offense to defense. We could talk about him and the rest of Zach Wilson's prognosis next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Continuing the conversation, we left off with the New York Jets, and Holden was bringing up the comparison of a defensive-minded head coach taking over a team. He was bringing up the Baltimore Ravens with Ray Lewis. Also had Trent Dilfer that led that team in terms of a Super Bowl run. I don't know. Are you making the comparison of Zach Wilson and the new coaching regime in New York that this could be a potential sleeper in the AFC East?
Don't you put that in my mouth. Don't put your words in my mouth, sir. All I'm saying is we've seen defensive coaches go to teams, and then it's the offense that steps up. The one that came to mind is Brian Billick. There have been plenty of other ones, too. And we've seen offensive-minded coaches in the team, and we've seen defensive-minded coaches to the offense to the defense. We've seen it back and forth. So just to assume that it's because Saleh is a defensive coordinator and to assume that they're going to have to win with defense or they're not going to be able to develop him as well, I'm not buying into that. And honestly, I was kind of impressed with what he did. He went 6-9, 63 yards, and he had nice rapport with Corey Davis. But again, you can't get overly excited about anything these rookies did. Although Justin Fields and Trey Lance, boy, they were fun to watch. Zach Wilson this year, rookie quarterback, man. It's as simple as that. How does his offensive line help him out? Can they get a running game going? There's a something else. Do they have enough around Zach Wilson? I'll ask you this, Lisi. Do they have enough around him so that he could be successful this year?
I don't think so. Now, I like Michael Carter. He rushed for 7 carries, 22 yards, around 3.1 yards per carry. You saw Denzel Mims step up in that game, huh? I thought he was relegated to 6th on the depth chart. He stepped up with 3 receptions, 52 yards. So that was good to see Denzel Mims. And they're going to need him, in my opinion, to make and get some victories this year for Zach Wilson. The biggest question for me is Chris Herndon. Those tight ends are very weak for the New York Jets. He utilizes the tight end. I think that's the one strong suit about Zach Wilson. If you followed his college career, had Matt Bushman, one of the better tight ends in college football. He ruptured his Achilles his senior season. They turned to Rex, the backup, a freshman. He still utilized the tight end in college. If that is taken away from his game, he really struggles, in my opinion, stretching defenses vertically. Now, he has a great relationship with Corey Davis, but could Corey Davis be the guy that they drafted him to be? I mean, Tennessee, he didn't live up to expectations. He was non-existent in the playoff loss to Baltimore. Can he be this guy that at least gets you 40 yards per game? I mean, if so, he'll have some playmakers to maybe score some points. But at the end of the day, I still think this is potentially a 4-13 football team this year. I think they're in a complete rebuild. I think Saleh is a great coach, a great defensive-minded coach. That defense will be much better, but when you're going up against Buffalo, when you're going up against Miami and New England 2 times per year, that's asking a lot for a new coaching staff and a first-year quarterback.
Yeah, and that's a big storyline. I just think defensively is the big question. Like, how much better do they get? Their defensive line looked terrific in the first game. That was nice. I mean, they have Rankins and Carl Lawson, a whole bunch of guys there. How much pressure can they put on the quarterback? How are they going to stop the run? To me, the Jets season is just has so many different factors and so many things that have to go right that they just seem to me a 5-12 season, unless Zach Wilson is the best rookie quarterback, and then that changes everything. Defensively, the defensive line, does that continue to improve? And do they have enough defensively to keep the Jets in the game?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, under and over set on FanDuel at 6, minus 115 to the over, minus 105 to the under. And I'm leaning to the under there. And when you look at his passing total, we discussed this in terms of last week. It is high, in my opinion. I mean, he is, compared to some of the other quarterbacks, Zach Wilson is up there on FanDuel, 3,850 and a half. Now, when we look at the difference between Jalen Hurts and Zach Wilson, I mean, Zach Wilson, 38-51 gets you the over at minus 112. But Jalen Hurts is more mobile. Jalen Hurts is at 37-50 and a half. He, in my opinion, has better weapons. Devontae Smith, Jalen Reagor, you talked about Quez Watkins. They still have Greg Ward Jr. on that roster. I mean, if we're comparing both quarterbacks now, I would say over for Hurts, under for Wilson.
Over for Hurts, like we said, under for... That's right where we should be. Yeah, absolutely. The weapons are the big difference. I can't believe we're saying this about Philadelphia, too, because of the issues they've had at wide receiver over the years. But they got two tight ends. They've got emerging wide receivers. They've got a run game, which is questionable, but at least the talent is there. So I'm with you. The Eagles, as bad as the Eagles could be, they at least have surrounded their quarterback with more weapons. And that might have to be the case for next year for Wilson. You can't just rebuild everything in 1 year.
And no, I agree
that
with that.
New York.
I agree with that. Now, in terms of Corey Davis, are you a buyer in terms of you think he's rejuvenated in New York? You think he just needed a new team, a new landscape, that it just wasn't working because of the run-heavy offense with Derrick Henry? Or is this guy just basically a preseason specialist that just steps up and he's going to be non-existent come week one against Carolina?
You know what blew me away? That the players, the NFL players, voted him one of the top 100 in the NFL. He was 91. Like, the players said, this guy is 91. That has to at least open your eyes a little bit. The dude's a physical freak. He's going to be the number one wide receiver. Is he going to be the best number one wide receiver in the NFL? No. But unless he's seeing double coverage every week, which, I guess it's a possibility, yeah, I still buy into Corey Davis's talents. I really do. Would I rather him as a number two? Yes, but he's going to get massive volume this season.
Well, then you might find his pass, receiving total very light this year on DraftKings, and that's why it's probably juiced to the over. 805.5 minus 145 to the over. Under is plus 110 on DraftKings.
Yeah.
So you think he sails through that.
Yeah, because they're going to be behind a lot, and they're going to have to chuck the ball a lot. And that's not, what is that, 60 yards a game? That's like 50 yards a game.
If he can't get 60 yards a game.
50! That's 50 yards a game. I have to do simple math. I'm pretty good at doing simple math. That's, 50 yards a game, that's 850. So they're thinking he's going to get 50 yards a game. Come on. How does Corey Davis not get 50 yards a game?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, coming out of Western Michigan with P.J. Fleck, he was one of the most dynamic talents in that offense and a main reason why they played in terms of the New Year's Six Bowl against Wisconsin. So I agree with you. He has to live up to expectations. But you know what's funny is I'm looking at DraftKings right now, and they have Corey Davis sandwiched right in between of Cooper Kupp and your guy, Courtland Sutton. Courtland Sutton, my guy, 950 and a half holding. I think he sails through that.
He's not my guy. He's not my guy.
He's my guy.
He can't stay on the field, man. Yeah, I don't think the guy stays on the field. Now, it's tough to predict injury, but, that knee, coming off what he did with that knee, that's a bit concerning. I mean, he looked good, really good in 2019, didn't he? He looked really good. So if he plays this year, yeah, I'm with you on Courtland Sutton and the over. We still don't know who the hell the quarterback is, though. If it's Drew Lock, I think he sails to the over. If it is
Teddy B.
Teddy B, it ain't happening, pal. Captain Checkdown, it ain't happening.
Captain Checkdown, I'll tell you this. If Teddy B starts, they're a playoff caliber team.
Oh,
they're going
God.
Through. And not to, we talked about the Jets. We're going to transition to the Denver Broncos, 8.5. I said this yesterday, that they are a potential dark horse. If you're looking at not the top teams, we know Cleveland's going to be there. We know Tennessee. Everybody's talking about the Steelers, the Bills, Chiefs. I mean, we get that in the AFC. But if you're looking for that team that maybe could just be under the radar with that defense right now, Bradley Chubb, now you had Surtain. If you could just get some consistent quarterback play, you're telling me Denver can't be 9-8, 10-7 this year?
They could be a 9-8 team, but what's that going to do for you? They're the third best team in the division.
It gets you the over, and really that's all I care about.
All right, then that's what you want. Yes, they could be a 500 team this year. They could be a 9-8 team. I think that their ceiling is probably a 10-7, but they're the third best team in that division. Yeah, they got the Chiefs and the Chargers ahead of them. So I don't think they're a playoff team. I'm not going to say they're that far away because there's some bad teams in the AFC. But If you ask how many wins do the Broncos have, to me they're an 8-9 team. That's what I would look at the Broncos as, an 8-9 team. Does that help us? Do we win money going over?
Yeah, it's -105 in terms of their over. Yeah, on FanDuel. So I'm in on their over. And I'll say this. I don't know if the Chargers, I know they have the talent. I'm not buying into Austin Eckler. I'll say that. First-year head coach. That scares me. Even though we had a dynamic season out of Justin Herbert, 31 touchdowns last year, I don't know if we're going to duplicate that. Let's keep in mind that basically Anthony Lynn was dead man walking last year. He had to open it up, right? He didn't want to do that. He wanted to play like Vic Fangio every game, 3-0, 6-3. He wanted to carry that into the fourth quarter. It killed Anthony Lynn to open up the offense. So we'll see what transpires there. I mean, I did want to get your take in terms of KJ Hamler, though. I joked about it after the 80-yard touchdown. Were you impressed at all with Hamler's performance last Saturday in terms of the Minnesota game? Breaking out, can he be that player that maybe just has a breakout season in 2021? Can he sail through his total?
I mean, he's a one-trick pony, isn't he? You saw him a lot in college. I mean, he's just a deep threat at this point. But more than what I think about it, Vic Fangio said that this guy could be a big part of the offense. So if Teddy B is the quarterback, how is Hamler getting his yards? It's all going to be yak, right? Because Teddy can't stretch the field. If you want to go over any KJ Hamler props, you're going to need Drew Lock as the quarterback, and you're going to need Drew Lock to stay healthy. So if you think Teddy B is the quarterback, then no, I would not go over any KJ Hamler prop. If it's Drew Lock, I can't imagine Drew Lock keeping that job all year. Horrible decision maker, but at least he's got a chance because Lock can air it out.
Well, what about his counterpart, Jerry Jeudy? Very disappointing season. Came on a little bit, showed spurts towards the end of the year. His receiving total is juiced a little bit to the over at -115, 920.5 on DraftKings. Got to get to 921 this year. I think that's doable. I really do. With or without Drew Lock, I know Drew Lock gives you that big play capability, but at least Teddy B is going to put it in the breadbasket, right? He's going to at least deliver the football on target. Isn't that better for Judy's numbers this year?
For Jeudy, yes, but he's got to get rid of the yips, the drops. No question, this time last year, we're talking about Jerry Jeudy possibly being the best rookie wide receiver, right?
Right. Remember the training videos?
Oh, amazing. But he couldn't hold on to the football. Drops are correctable. Some guys don't stop dropping the football. Noah Fant. I mean, they got a lot of drops on this team. That's the other thing I want to say. Noah Fant just drops balls left and right. Great practice today. The beat writers are saying, though, you know, wide open, down the field, drop the football. They've got too many drops on this team, and that's got to stop. I don't think Fant, we've seen enough Fant. I don't think he corrects that, but he is like that big play. He's got the massive ceiling. He's got the massive upside. But Jerry Jeudy has a lot of proving to do. I do not want to bet any Jeudy props right now.
All right, I'm a buyer of Jerry Jeudy. I'm a buyer of KJ Hamler. And I'm a buyer of the Denver Broncos over 8.5. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with a week one line of the day, Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Wrapping up today's show, we just left off with Drew Lock and Teddy B in Denver. Might as well bring it to the week one line where Denver right now on FanDuel is a -1.5 against the New York Giants in East Rutherford, -110 either way. I told Holden in the break, this line has been flip-flopping from the start since FanDuel put this out. It originally started with Denver -1, then it flipped to the New York Giants as a -1.5 point favorite. It's back to Denver as a -1.5 point favorite now on FanDuel today. I'm buying in. This is one of my best bets week number one, with or without Drew Lock or Teddy B, whoever starts. I'm all in on Denver. I think they expose the Giants secondary. Double-digit win in East Rutherford for the Broncos.
I'll give you credit for at least having some conviction on that one. I think a 5-11 team last year and a 6-10 team. The Giants were 6-10. This is an ugly game. You're much higher in the Broncos than I am, but I don't know if anybody could be down more than I am on the Giants. So basically, out of just looking at two bad teams, and you think the Broncos will be good, I'll take the Broncos -1 on the road. I got no problem with that. I can find it at -1. We're seeing it at -1.5. And the more great reports we get out of Denver with this camp, though, I could see this line moving to 2. How about you?
I can, too, and I'll tell you what appeals me as well is the total. Now, the total opened up at around 43.5. They knocked it down to 42.5 at -110 either way. You remember that the Giants, over the last 7 games of the year under Joe Judge, went under for 7 straight games at the end of the year. They played a lot of close games. I believe their last over came in the loss at home to Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, where they lost by 2. They put up 48 points in that matchup. I'm on the over because I think in order for Denver to be a playoff caliber team, they need to open it up no matter who the quarterback is, Holden. So we'll see what transpires week one. It's been a great day. We're going to be here every day talking NFL for Holden Kushner. I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue, the $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal, each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary, not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.